But turn your Bibles, if you're not there already, to Matthew chapter 28. And please stand with me if you're able to. Matthew 28, verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And he says, Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." And so, Lord, we ask that you please would help us to see this holy command, this great commission, as we call it, the mission of the church. It's not to make money or to be focused on making members, but make disciples, make followers of you. We want to first follow you, be discipled by others, and then turn around and train others, just like how you did with your disciples, Jesus, how Paul did it, Peter, and others. So give us your holy empowerment that comes from above. We need your supernatural empowerment. Help us today, we ask, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. You guys could have a seat if you would. Amen. So I'm going to open with an illustration here. You see in the PDF, if you have this downloaded, that's just the cover. It's an introduction page. Here on page 3, I want to talk to you about what baptism's about, but I also want to give you an illustration. The illustration is a wedding ring. Some of you guys have a wedding ring. Now, if you have a wedding ring, it doesn't prove that you're married, correct? You could have one. Some girls are like, oh, one day, right? I remember teasing my wife, where is she? The day I was in this building, we were on that side. Some of you guys may have been here at that time. It was a Wednesday night. We were eating, I think it was a Thai restaurant down the street on Metropolitan Avenue. Sit with her. I already bought the ring. I planned it out. Had it and all that. Like, you really don't want an engagement ring, right? You know, guys. It's always the guys that are the jokers, right? You don't need one. It's like, okay, I guess. It's like, good. And then just about an hour or so later, then I proposed to her. But the wedding ring doesn't prove that you're married. It's a announcement that you're married, right? It's a communication. And you gals know what I'm talking about. Guys, too. Gals walk around. You know how it is. You go, maybe at work, you go to like the place where there's a coffee and the water. Like, oh, so anything new? What'd you do over the weekend? You know, some of you guys know what I'm talking about, right? You're kind of showing off. You know how that is. Even my bride did that. Her dad saw, I was like, he took it off her head. She told me the story. He's like, look, ooh, is that real? What's that? So having a wedding ring or a engagement ring, no, it doesn't prove that you're married. Well, baptism is kind of similar. When you have a baptism, you get baptized, it doesn't prove that you're going to be eternally married to Jesus. Baptism doesn't get you saved, is the point I'm saying. Make sense? Baptism doesn't get you saved. Baptism is for the saved. So baptism comes after belief. It's kind of similar. Now, when you and I get baptized, we have to ask, okay, what is it? What is baptism? Okay, some people describe water baptism as sort of an outward expression of an internal transformation. That's maybe a good way to look at it. But we want to look at this a little bit. So if we ask the next, you go to the next slide here, which is the next page on the PDF, if you're downloading it. What is it regarding baptism? Well, baptism, it means to be submerged under water. You could look up the original word. In fact, we're told to test all things. Amen? You test it not with your feelings, your emotions, that could be fickle, but test it and measure everything through the Bible, through the Word of God. Amen? So when you look up this original Greek word, even that Jesus used, that we read here in Matthew 28, this word for baptize, like we've got to, how do you make disciples? He says baptizing them. The same Greek word that John the Baptist used even. What does this word speak of? It speaks of to immerse or to submerge. Sub. Now, you and I in New York, we think of Subway. The Subway system or Subway sandwich shop. Sub means under, like submarine. submerge. You're going under the water. So the greatest indication, if we took at just the Bible, not man's movies, you might watch a movie where you see, oh, I know Jesus got baptized. I watched the movie. And he's there standing in the water. The heavens open. John the Baptist takes his hands or receptacle and splashes it on top of Jesus. Anybody ever see a movie like that? You know, sprinkle, tinkle, spray. Well, that's not the word. The word itself for baptize means to submerge, means you're going under the water. And John the Baptist, when he baptized people, including Jesus, he went out to a very famous river. What do we call that? Okay, not the East River. Ew, you probably wouldn't want to go in there, right? The Jordan River. So it's a river. It's a large body of water. There's a lot of water. Greatest chances are when Jesus himself was baptized that he was actually one that went under the water. Okay, and we won't argue over this and that. That's just the word that God used to describe it when he wrote the Bible for you and I. So to be baptized is to be submerged under water. Also, baptism, it's good to know, it's a symbol of death. So some people, when they do a baptism, when you come to someone's baptism, you might hear someone sometimes say, "Welcome to my funeral." Kind of a joking way, but it kind of is. Why? Because you and I getting baptized, that person, the people getting baptized, you are saying bye-bye to the old woman, the old man. Okay, I love that picture too, going under the water. It's like dead to that. Let that puppy sink. And don't let Lazarus come back to life. Amen? Because the old life tries to come back. Anybody realize that? And so it's a good memory to know, oh, I remember going out there. I wasn't a baby. We don't baptize babies. That's not biblical. Okay, we're not going to argue over that. We're just going to show you what the Bible says. Amen? Good reminder. No, I went. I remember going under the water. I remember fighting with the waves even at the beach. That's how we do it. We go to the beach. But I remember the feeling. It's a good memory. That old man, the old woman, dead. Don't let that old person come back, so to speak, right? So you're rising anew with Jesus Christ. But baptism is a symbol of death. Here's what it says in Colossians 2. You can read on the PDF. You can turn there in your Bibles if you want. Colossians 2, it says in verse 11, "In him," speaking of Jesus, "you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried," listen to this, "buried with him in baptism." You're buried with him, with Jesus, in baptism. Let that sink in. "Buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead." So, baptism symbolizes a death to the old woman, a death to the old man. It's a one-time thing that you have to do. You don't do it to get saved. Again, baptism, like communion, is for the saved. Amen? Baptism comes after belief. But you got to put that old person to death, so to speak, right? It's a lordship issue. We'll get into that in a little bit. So the born-again person, the born-again Christian, you and I need to know, Colossians chapter 2, what you're doing is you're remembering you're buried with him. I'm dead and buried with Jesus. I remember going out to my own funeral. And others came out there to celebrate. You do it publicly and with the love and support of others. Okay, but the picture is a burial of your old self under the water. You're submerged. And you rise anew, empowered by God's Spirit. Again, many people see their baptism sort of as a funeral. Quick question. Did Jesus have any sin, even one sin? Not even one messed up thought like we got to go through daily, right? Think about that. So he was born sin-free. And he lived his life, he had no birth defect, and lived his life without being affected. At what age did Jesus get baptized? Who remembers? 30. So he died at 33, but he got baptized at the age of 30. We'll get into that in a little bit. But did Jesus have to get baptized for the repentance of sin? No. John the Baptist baptized with water for the repentance of sin. That's why when Jesus came to him, he's like, "Yo, I need to be baptized by you. You want me to be baptized or to baptize you?" And Jesus said, "Permitted at this time, for in this way is fitting for us to fulfill all what? Righteousness." We'll get into that in a little bit. So baptism is a symbol of death. You're dead to the old self, dead to sin. rising anew, the new life in Christ. But Christ Jesus didn't have any sin. Please understand that, because it's often asked. I even asked this as a young Christian decades ago. It's like, why did Jesus have to get baptized? You know what you commonly hear? And you're going to learn the reason why today. Okay, so you need to hear this. This is the reason why we have the tabernacle things out here. You'll hear things like Jesus died or Jesus got baptized to identify with our humanity. Has anybody ever heard that before? But then be like me, where you're told in the Bible to test all things. So ask that person, okay, that sounds nice. Prove it with the Bible. Where is it in the Bible? It's not. And they won't have an answer. But that's just what we like to do in America. We give people fluffy stuff. Oh, that sounds nice. They just want to answer you, but they're not giving a biblical answer. They're not giving you God's answer. Today you're going to get God's answer, God willing. All right, so going to the next page here, the next slide even. Baptism is a symbol of death, but what about Christ Jesus then? Did he have to get baptized for repentance of sin? Obviously, he wasn't a sinner. But Jesus got baptized to fulfill God's law. He fulfilled Torah. Let's read about this. You'll see it here. It's on the display. You can turn your Bibles. Matthew chapter 3. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him, by John the Baptist. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now. Listen to what he says here. The Jew, the Orthodox Jew, would not miss this. For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all, what does he say? Righteousness. So the Jew, Matthew Levi, the most Jewish gospel writer, he puts this in here. Why? Because he's trying to minister to his own people, the Jews. So because Jesus is saying we're fulfilling righteousness, the Jew knows it's going to be found somewhere in Torah. Okay, the first five books of the Bible, which are Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Okay, that's Torah. Torah means law. So he's saying, we're going to fulfill something in Torah. So you got to look in those first five books. So what is he fulfilling? Good question. So Jesus was born without sin. He lived his life without committing any sins. And he had no need for water baptism unto repentance like John the Baptist was doing. So that's why John's like, yo, why are you coming to me? And rightly so. So Jesus had to be baptized in order to fulfill all righteousness. That statement of Jesus tells us he was fulfilling something in God's law, in Torah. That's why we want to show you a picture of this. Someone remember? Someone tell us, what is this? You guys, yeah, the bronze laver for washing. Now, let's go to the next page. We're going to read. This comes from Exodus 30. You got to know this. Please know this. This will answer the question. This is God's answer to the question, why did Jesus have to be baptized? Okay, he wasn't even telling John the Baptist there. I'm sure maybe later on, John's like, oh, that's what that was. But he didn't understand at that time. It's in Exodus chapter 30. Okay, the next page on the PDF. The priest had to wash before serving or sacrificing. I'm going to say that again. The priest had to wash before serving. That would be like in the tabernacle or the time of the temples. Before serving or sacrificing. Jesus is our great high priest. Picture of him as a priest that would serve. And he's also our sin sacrifice. Okay? So listen to this. In Exodus chapter 30, you shall also make a laver of bronze. That's this. And it wasn't this small. This is just a model. Okay, we wouldn't be able to hold it. The thing would be heavy. You shall also make a laver of bronze with its base also of bronze for washing. And then going down to verse 20, when they go into the tabernacle of meeting, which is here, you notice these items are gold. That was inside the tabernacle. These items were outside. These items were bronze. Bronze speaks of judgment too. When they go into the tabernacle meeting or when they come near the altar to minister. The altar in the Old Testament is a picture of the New Testament what? Of the cross of Christ. Think about this. Jesus is not just a priest. He's not just a high priest, but our great high priest. Amen? So before he's going to go to the cross, before he starts his earthly ministry, he had to wash. That's your proof that he's great high priest. When they come near the altar to minister, to burn an offering made by fire to the Lord, they shall, what does it say, wash with water. Notice what God says here. And he tells them twice in case they weren't listening. But he tells you the severity of this law. He says, lest they, what? Lest they die. So they shall wash their hands and their feet, lest they die. So God tells them in this little paragraph, tells them twice, you got to make sure you wash before you serve or sacrifice, or you're going to die. And in case they weren't listening, the next verse, do it. Make sure you wash before you serve or sacrifice, or you're going to die. So you think they took that seriously? Yeah, they took it as a serious thing. They took the severity of the law. Like, wow, we got to make sure we do this. By the way, again, God's word proves that Jesus is our great high priest. So I got every single address from the entire book of Hebrews. Guess which chapters they're in. They're in chapters 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10. So one of the main points of the entire book of Hebrews is Jesus is your great high priest. Amen? Chapters 2 through 10. You can't miss that. The priest washing of the bronze laver before serving and before sacrificing, that was symbolic. And Jesus fulfilled that righteousness in Torah when he came to John the Baptist. Make sense? Thumbs up from some of that makes sense to you. All right. So that's your answer. Why did Jesus have to get baptized? No, he didn't do that to identify with our humanity. You'd be surprised how many pastors in America say that. But they're not going to tell you. I've looked it up. Show me if there's a pastor, because very few that I find. Of Orthodox Jews, if they come to know Messiah Jesus, they receive him in salvation as a Messianic Jew, they'll pull that out. It's like, yeah, he's fulfilling something in Torah. But we have to be not just Gentile Christians that hang out in the New Testament. We got to know the entire Bible. Amen? So he's fulfilling something there in Torah. And baptism is a big thing for us as Christians. So the priest, by washing, he was a symbol of what would happen later on. As Jesus Christ, your great high priest, he would be baptized. He had a wash, not for repentance of sins, but it was a signal to the world, not just John the Baptist and not just John the Apostle who wrote it down in his book. It's a symbol, a signal to the world. Hey, Messiah is here in the first coming of Jesus Christ. I'm now ready to serve and to sacrifice. So quick question, because there's probably some ex-Catholics here. Any ex-Catholics here? Or maybe you came out of a background that had baby baptism. Okay. Some would say, claiming in fanciful fables, they're lies, saying that Jesus, maybe it's a story about Jesus healing a bird when he was a kid. Anybody hear that story? Okay. Or Jesus did miracles. You know what those are? They're lies. Jesus did not do any earthly ministry. He couldn't do any miracles before the age of what? When did he get baptized? The age of 30. Now, that doesn't mean that us as earthly Christians here on this planet, that you should wait till the age of 30. That's not what it's saying. But in Numbers chapter 4, the priest started his ministry, fully started ministering, fully served at the age of what? 30 years of age. 30. Okay, so Jesus fulfilled that. Luke records that Jesus was baptized at the age of 30. So Jesus did this not to repent from sin, but a signal to the world, hey, Messiah is here, as all the Bible prophesied. I'm ready to serve like a priest in the temple or the tabernacle, and I'm about to sacrifice at the altar. But it wasn't the physical altar in the temple. It was going to be the cross of Christ. Please understand that. So again, priests began fully serving at the age of 30. There's a little indication, maybe the age of 25, they could start up a little bit, but they started really as a priest. Numbers chapter 4, verse 3, I think it is, yep, at the age of 30. So Jesus waited until 30 years of old, years of age to be baptized. Did Jesus do any miracles or any earthly ministry from the time of his virgin birth up until his baptism at age 30? Did Jesus do any miracles, any earthly ministry? No. Think about the patience of Jesus, right? Pretty patient. Now, that doesn't mean you got to wait 30 years for him to answer your prayers. But he's pretty patient, right? He wanted to not just be patient, he had to fulfill God's word. Amen? So if he was that patient to fulfill God's word, is he going to try to fulfill the rest of his word? Yeah. That's who he is. That's what he does. So priests had to wait until the age of 30. All right. So the next page here in the PDF, we could ask the question, so why do churches baptize? Well, as we open up in Matthew 28, baptism is part of your discipleship process. Again, Matthew 28, Jesus says, make disciples. Again, we're not going to be a church about making money. We're not going to be a church about just pushing and making members. That's not biblical. We want to make disciples, followers of Jesus. Is it that simple? It's kind of that simple, right? You want to teach the Bible, teach you to apply the Bible, help you exhort, encourage, etc., pray for you, and point you to Jesus. It's just about Jesus and the Bible. Simple, right? It's almost too simple. It's so simple that sometimes my complicated mind, like, God help me just to keep it simple. The simplicity of the scriptures. Okay, so baptism is part of the church's Great Commission. The church's Great Commission, we have it here on the screen. You and I open up Matthew 28, the church's mission. We don't need another mission. The church's mission, the Great Commission, is to do what? Make what? Disciples. Let's say it again. To make?
Disciples.
To make?
Disciples.
I need to?
Make disciples.
You need to? Make disciples. That's it. I need to follow him, get discipled. Okay, follow him, help others to follow him as well. Is it that simple? It's really that simple. Think about how we may have complicated things in church life. That's why sometimes people come in, we might need to know that we want to help you to heal when you look at the truth and God's words of truth, the Bible, and you might need to just get healed from a lot of the lies that you learn from the world, even worldly churches. It's just the Bible, okay? Study the scriptures, apply it, help people to follow Jesus, you as you and I follow Jesus. So Jesus tells us how to make disciples right in this passage when he gives the church the Great Commission. So this is the one main thing that the church is to be about. We're authorized by Jesus. He says all authority. You and I are not authorized to make money. We're not authorized to make members. He says all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples. In the original language, the command is not go. The command is make disciples. Make disciples as you go. Does that make sense? Okay? So we don't just go and like, where am I going? I don't know. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? We get confused. And that's how a lot of Christians go about life. They run around, as the proverbial, as we say, like chicken with its what? Head cut off, right? And we can't do that as Christians because Jesus is the head of the church. Not me. I'm not the head of the church. The Pope is not the head of the church. You and I are not the head of the church. Jesus is the head of the church. Amen? As a metaphor, he's the head of the body. The head contains the what? The thinking, the seeing, the speaking, the hearing. What does the body have? Feeling. Isn't that kind of how we are many times? The flesh. So you got to listen to the head, Jesus. That's not me. Amen? You got to listen to the head, to Jesus. So we need to make disciples. That's the church's Great Commission. Our mission here in this church, our vision, which we want to be your vision too, we just illustrate it through the pictures. Get saved. Start learning God's word. And what's one of your next steps? Is probably some of the people here. Get baptized, right? Pray about that. And then what? Pray about serving God publicly somehow. And as you serve, then what? Discover your spiritual gifts, your calling. Each of you are created in Christ Jesus for good works. You've got a call on your life. I'm not the one that's calling you. It's like you got this annoying ring. You remember those old school phones? Who here grew up with those old school phones? Remember that? Remember the pulse phone? Remember those things? Rotary, right? It's like, oh, a bunch of nines. It's not like, boop, 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 boop. And those old school phones, they would ring so loud, right? Some of us set up our phones out, ring. Imagine spiritually. So once you get saved, God comes to live within you, and it's his call, the clarion call, we might say, of God through Jesus Christ, is he's constantly calling you. You go to sleep, you're like, leave me alone. He might visit you in your dreams. You're walking about, you're reading the Bible, you're worshiping, you're praying. He lives within you. You can't tell God to shut up, right? He lives within you, and he wants to live his life through you. And he's going to whisper to you, maybe saying these words like we often splash. Ephesians 2, verse 10. You were created in Christ Jesus for good works. I got some work for you to do. He's not an employer. He didn't die to get an employee. He died, and you're bought at a price, the price of the blood of Jesus. You don't belong to yourself. But our challenge in life as Christians is we want the fire insurance. We want to get saved. He saved me from my sins, but no, let me live out my life. I want to be my own Lord. That's the challenge. Who here knows that that's your problem in life as a Christian? For all of us, right? So he wants to be the Lord of your life. So baptism typically is seen as that Christian, that born-again Christian's first step publicly at declaring Jesus as Lord. And you need to keep following forward, keep growing forward, and don't backslide. Amen? That's why we want to encourage people and pray for them to start serving God somehow publicly. So now you're moving forward. You're growing forward, as I like to say. And it's way easier to keep growing forward. If you're just sitting in neutral, it's easy to push that car backwards, right? And that was me a lot of times in my life. When I had a prayer life, my life was full of prayer. Guess what a lot of the prayer was? Oh, God, I'm sorry. Oh, God, I'm sorry. It's a prayer of repentance all the time. That's okay, but it's like the car keep going reverse, and I'm going to come back. Or as we might say, well, sometimes the walk with Jesus feels like it's one step forward, one step back. Sometimes it's one step forward, two steps back. I'm like, I'm losing ground. You got to keep growing forward. Okay? He created you with a brain that's built to understand I need a goal and I need a purpose. And now you have a new identity. It's no longer in the world. It's in Christ. And you got to discover who you are in Christ. Okay? You are his workmanship. The Greek word there is Ephesians 2 verse 10. Poema. You're his poem. Any of you guys like poetry? I love poetry. I like John. John's one of my favorite writers in the Bible. He writes in a poetic way. You're his poetry, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Okay, so God's got a calling on your life. It's like that old school phone, ding, ding, like nonstop. And if you know that that calling, that phone, so to speak, that call from God is constantly ringing, who here knows that? You know that? Okay, so just acknowledge that with God. I don't know what your calling is, but we can discover it together if you serve God publicly somehow. Okay, somehow. Maybe not here formally, maybe it's wherever you're at. Okay, but serve him. You've got a calling in the church, every single one of you. Discover what that is, or else you're never going to be totally what we call happy. Okay, to have true spiritual joy, you have to obey Jesus, not just as Savior for your sins, follow him as the Lord of your life. Amen? And that's also, it's going to answer dozens, if not hundreds of other prayers. How do I repent from sin? How do I stay away from this? Move forward with Jesus. Forget all that old junk, that old self. And that was me. I had a life of like drugs, alcohol. Not just in parties, I would create the party and promote the party. That was me. Think about that. So if God could use my life, like, man, he could use any of you guys. That's at least from the privacy of my own heart, from my perspective. I was promoting the filth of the world. I remember being in tears, like, why don't you just squash me like a bug? Like, I can't stand myself when I look at who I was. Praise God, that's not who I am. We're talking decades ago, that was me. But I've repented from that party lifestyle. Dragging kids probably like down the hill, sadly. And he wanted to take me out of that, and what does he do? He sends you right back in. Now you can see it in people. You want to love them and point them to Jesus Christ. Point them not just to salvation, but also, hey, you need to fulfill your purpose, the reason why you exist, why you're alive right now. Okay, marriage is great, being a father or mother, those are great things, but you're created in Christ Jesus for good works. That means you got born again, you got saved because he's got a call on your life, and nothing's going to fulfill that purpose. Nothing. It's not your career. It's not an education. It's not how much money you build up, or like in the Bible, build a bigger barn to store up more stuff. Because Jesus says, that guy's a fool. That's foolish. It's by following Jesus Christ. So baptism typically is not a one-off thing. It seems to be, for many of us, it's the start that gets you going forward and growing with God. And dads and moms, when you got kids that get baptized, that's awesome. Keep pouring into them. Keep helping them to learn God's word. Keep pointing them to Jesus Christ. That's a good ministry there, right? It's a big ministry. We got to pray for the parents. All right, so baptism is part of your discipleship process, and it's a process. It's not just a one-off event. You need to know that. Now, when we ask, why should I get baptized? That might be a question that someone has. Well, Jesus said, again, Matthew 28, verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them. So we, or even you as a Christian, but we as a church community, we want to obey this command in the Great Commission to make disciples. Part of making you a disciple, a follower of Jesus, is to baptize you. And the person that's getting baptized, the baptism candidate, they're also obeying Christ's command and want to submit and surrender to his work done in this new life, a new way that he's given you, a new beginning, a new hope, in this new family, that you would obey him to get baptized. Make sense? Okay? So why should I get baptized? To obey Jesus. If he's your Savior, you prayed a prayer, so what? Follow him as the Lord of your life. And as you do, he's going to change you from the inside out. How many of you guys know, you go to work, you're with your family and friends, they see you, but they know that's not you. You ain't you. You different. Is that any of you guys? That's proof of the new life in Christ. Praise God for that. So as you keep following him, he's going to continue to change and transform you from the inside out. Okay? You need to learn Romans 12. He says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He wants you to think differently. So we read his word that I would get his opinion, his thoughts. He's the one that created the planet and everything and created you and me and sustains us and holds us together. And he's going to teach us how to live life. He's going to teach us about our relationships, our marriages, our families, how to get along with one another. And he's going to change and transform you. That's why you're you. You still have you on your ID. But your friends and family that know you, you still are you, but you ain't you. You know what I'm talking about? Okay? Allow God to transform you. So baptism is following Jesus as the Lord of your life. If he's Savior for your sins, that's great. He wants to be the Lord of your life. But it's part of the process, and it's a lordship issue. Because if you could obey a God that you can't see and obey what he says, you'll see it in that Christian. It's a lordship issue. This is one way, let me give you a pastoral peek into how you can see where someone's at. If someone can obey what you say in your words, and they see you and they hear you, they can obey you as a Christian, chances are good they can obey God that they can't see, and they can obey his word. Does that make sense? It's a lordship issue. But if they can't obey you that they can see, and they won't obey your words, you get a peek into their walk. They're probably not obeying the God that they can't see then. And they're probably not obeying his word. Although they'll tell you, oh, I'm a Christian. Which means literally, I'm a Christ follower. Then are you following what he says? No, but I'm a Christian. Is Jesus your Lord? Yeah, I sing it all the time. Lord, I want more of you. I call him Lord. But you know, you call him Lord, what does that mean? That Lord means it's indicative of a relationship. If he's Lord, what are you? That means you're automatically servant. Many of us don't understand that because you got one Lord. If he's Lord, that means you serve him. If he's not Lord, you might go, I used to get convicted singing some of those songs, and the Holy Spirit would really rip at my heart. I'm like, okay. Anybody, you know what I'm talking about? Some songs are tough to sing because they're confessional songs. You're like, help me, God. Okay, and that's good. All right, so it's a lordship issue. Why should you get baptized? Because Jesus says so. So some of us want to know, like, who, what, where, when, how, why. What's going to happen? What do I get out of it? Just die. Surrender. Surrender to the word. And if you guys go through that, the analytical folks, maybe you're like me, it's like, what's going to happen? And you know, before I go on that trip, where are we going to go? Google Maps, I don't even know how to map it out. Yeah, but God ain't Google Maps, and he ain't AI, all right? So what does he tell his disciples? Two pesky little words. Follow me. You know what that means? I have to have humility. I have to trust. I have to surrender to him. And if you're like how, you know, you go with kids on the ride, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Imagine the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness. How long? 40 years. Are we there yet? If you look on the map, they didn't have very long to go. Just surrender to his work. If you ask the question, I thought baptism saves you. Remember the thief on the cross? You see in the movies, right? The guy that's crucified next to Jesus. Did he get a chance to get baptized? Nope. He's one of the proofs. One. Not the only proof. Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. So cultists and others will try to make a heyday with it. No, he said paradise. He didn't say heaven. Look, the guy got salvation. He didn't get baptized. That's basically it. That's the point. Okay, he's not like, send some water down. Make it rain. I'm stuck on this cross. I sprinkle tinkle some on me. I got to get water on me. That's not the point. The point is, baptism is not required for salvation. Please understand that. Maybe someone here needs to hear that. So the thief on the cross, you can read about that. It's Luke 23. The thief that was crucified next to Jesus. It's a great example. Not the only example. Great example of someone who didn't get baptized, and yet he received salvation from Jesus. Acts chapter 8, you remember the Ethiopian eunuch. Check this out. So Acts 8, you could read about it later on. We'll actually pull up the scriptures. But the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, that's also a great example of someone who first believed, second got baptized. It's not that he got baptized and now I'm saved because I got baptized. Okay? No. Didn't happen that way. Baptism follows belief. And even from our statement of faith, you can read about it on our website. We have a printout here. We believe the Lord Jesus committed two ordinances to the church, two sacraments, holy commands that came from Christ. Okay, not seven like some churches have seven. We don't do baby baptism. You understand that, right? Baptism and the Lord's Supper. We also call that communion. We believe in baptism by immersion or to submerge and communion, both of which are open to all believers in Jesus Christ. Okay, doesn't get you saved, it's for the saved, or the communion or baptism. And some use Mark 16:16 to claim water baptism is required for salvation, because it says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Notice, the emphasis is not on baptism, but on belief, faith. Okay? All right, let's continue on. The next page here, I'm just going to quickly go through these. I don't want to take too long. There's just two more pages, this and another one. Baby baptism. Does baby baptism count with God? Now, this is where we're going to read in Acts 8. It's here on the screen. It's on your PDF. You might want to turn there in your Bibles or at least know where it's at. Acts 8, verse 36 to 38. I can read that with you here. Oh, am I there? Oh, it is. Now, as I went down... Oh, actually, let me go to the one on the top. Sorry. So baptism doesn't get you saved. Should I be baptized before serving? So ideally, yes, to follow Christ's way, he got baptized first and then started serving, and that was before he got sacrificed. But that's him as a priest. So to follow that example, many people, if not most of us, will get baptized first because Jesus is Lord, and now I got to keep following him, so I want to serve him, keep saying no to myself, my flesh, my selfish ways. Realistically, whether baptized or getting baptized or serving God, that's why I talked to some of the folks. Ideally, it happens one before the other. Realistically, they can happen many times right around the same time. Okay, but the order with Jesus was he got baptized first and then started publicly serving God. Down to the second one, though, here. Okay, does baby baptism count with God? The short answer, no. Why? It's not biblical. Okay, I don't care. I could sit there and talk with some of my friends that are Reformed, that are maybe going to Presbyterian church, a lot of Koreans. So I would ask Susan when I met her, because I know a lot of Koreans, whether California here or Presbyterian, and I'll ask them, Reformed, right? Oh, do they baptize babies? And I'll kind of joke with that. It's like, my thing is always, great, you're a minister. Why do you baptize babies? Oh, because this is that. Show me in the Bible. They can't. They can't. Poke fun at that. You know, be nice, but train them to test all things. We're commanded to, right? So if you ask someone, maybe you know some Koreans. A lot of Koreans here in the United States, I find, are Presbyterian, probably because all the missions work that's been done throughout the centuries or however long. But many of them, they can baptize babies. Roman Catholic Church baptizes babies. Some Lutheran churches, Anglican churches, Reformed churches, they baptize babies. Why? Well, we're Reformed. They came out of the Roman Catholic Church. I would say to my beloved friends, because I got a lot of Reformed folks that are friends, you didn't reform enough. You still baptize babies. Okay? So we baptize people. They don't have to be adults, at least to be old enough to say, I'm a sinner, Christ Jesus is my Savior, I want to repent for my sins and follow Him. You should get baptized. Make sense? Okay? It doesn't matter how old they are, but can a baby repent from their sins? Can a baby confess their sins? No, what does a baby do? That's all baby does, right? So a baby cannot decide to follow Jesus, to be a disciple. We just read, right? The Great Commission. Make disciples, followers of Jesus Christ. Can a baby decide? As cute as they might be, they're maybe a little too young. They can't really decide. It's like, I want to repent for my sins. I want a new life in Christ, and I want to follow Him. Okay? They can't confess their sins. They can't repent. So does baby baptism count with God? Short answer, no. Look at Acts 6 or 8, verse 36. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, notice, if you what? Believe with all your heart. Did he sit there and go, now I know you're this little baby swaddled in this little crib. If you believe with all your heart, baby, you could be baptized. That'd be impossible. You'd probably laugh at that, right? It's ludicrous. And the Ethiopian eunuch was not a baby. If you believe with all what? Your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ. Now we go through this as Gentile Christians. What he's saying, I believe Jesus is Messiah. Okay, Christ is not his last name. I believe Jesus is Messiah, is a son of God. That's the whole reason why John wrote his book that we call the Gospel according to John. Jesus, or John wrote that book, he says that you would believe Jesus is Messiah, and you believe Jesus is son of God, and that believing you would have life in his name. So he sums it up here. Amazing. I believe that Jesus Christ, he's Messiah, is the son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down in the water and him. Notice, what came first, belief or baptism? Belief. Baptism follows belief. Belief comes before baptism. You don't get baptized and all of a sudden, now I'm saved. Okay? So the guy believed, so he got saved, and then he got baptized. I also know this down because some of you might know baby baptism. It's called pedo. Pedo means child. Pedo baptism. Baby baptism. We don't do baby baptism here or infant baptism. It's unbiblical. That's why we won't do it. It's not because we're trying to mock the Catholic Church or Lutherans or Reformed churches or Presbyterians or Anglicans that do that. It's like, read your Bible, okay? If it says in the Bible, we'll do that. Prove it to me in the Bible. But because Jesus never baptized babies, the apostles never baptized babies, they didn't tell or train or exhort or encourage or command people to baptize babies, guess what? We don't baptize babies. So why do people baptize babies? I asked this earlier. Here, I'll give you the short answer, okay? Because of Satan. That's it. Because when babies get baptized, that baby grows up and that child has a false sense of eternal security, don't they? And it's very confusing. Anybody here get baptized as a baby or understand that? And then when you get saved, you're like, I don't need to get baptized. I've talked to some like ex-Catholics. They'll come in because this is very Catholic-friendly around here in Middle Village. Oh, I got baptized. When did you get baptized? I'm talking to someone that just got saved. Like, oh, I got baptized as a baby. Like, that doesn't count. That's a baby shower. We call it a baby shower. That's all it is. All right, just so you know, it's not biblical. So cults will do that. False Christian organizations do that. The Ethiopian eunuch asked Philip, what hinders me from being baptized? And Philip says, if you believe with all your heart, you may. He's not saying, when you're done changing your diapers, baby, because you're 2 months old, then you can. You got to believe with all your heart. Baby cannot believe with all their heart. All right. So continuing on, this is the last page here. Does baby baptism count with God again? No. What does the Bible say about baptism? A person should be at least old enough to do what? And I highlighted here with three of these bullet points, to believe with all your heart. I didn't write this. I didn't say this. God did. They have to believe with all their heart in Jesus Christ as Savior for their sins, and that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's Acts 8, verse 37. Can a baby have that belief? No. Therefore, don't baptize babies. A person that needs to be at least old enough to make a conscious choice to be buried with him in baptism. That's Colossians 2, verse 12, Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. Can a baby make a conscious choice to be buried with Jesus in baptism? No. I don't care how smart your baby is. If they're 1 month old, 2 months old, 3 months old, they can't make that decision. Can a baby decide to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, to repent from sins and follow him? A baby can't decide that. Therefore, we don't baptize babies. A baby can't decide to follow Jesus and get discipled. How old was Jesus when he got baptized? He was 30. Now, I'm not saying you got to wait till you're 30. He did it to fulfill Scripture. Okay, that's Numbers chapter 4, verse 3. A priest started to fully serve publicly when he's at the age of 30. So that was Jesus Christ himself. He didn't get baptized as a baby. The apostles never baptized babies. No, neither Jesus nor the apostles nor the disciples in the New Testament. None of them commanded nor told people to baptize babies. So where do people get that from? I'll tell you the long and short of it. From Satan. Okay? It's not commanded by God. Don't think you're pleasing God. If you're pleasing God by doing something, you'll find it where? It'll be in the Bible. Okay? Pretty simple. So if someone was baptized previously as a baby, it could be the Roman Catholic Church, maybe Episcopal Church, maybe Presbyterian or Reformed or Lutheran or Anglican. There's a whole bunch of groups and churches that do that. Or if they were in a cult, the Latter-day Saints, also called Mormons. Any of you guys know any Mormons? I praise God that my babysitters when I was little at Hawaiian Babysitters, which many of them are Mormon, they took me to their Mormon church when I was little. I told Susan and others, like, I praise God that I didn't become a Mormon because they would drag me with them. I remember even being there as a kid doing their form of communion. I didn't know what it was about because no one told me. They just passed me this little cup. It looked like Kool-Aid. And that church that they brought me to, the Mormon church in our neighborhood, was very popular with the kids in the school I went to. So I'm glad I didn't get sucked into that doctrine. That's a cult. They're not born-again Christians. So if you get baptized by an entity like that, and Mormons are big on baptism. Okay, again, who here knows of any Mormons? If you ever do apologetics or you minister to Mormons, they're big on genealogies. They'll do proxy baptism, meaning that they'll get baptized for maybe grandpa that died, and they go up the ladder in their genealogical chain. So they're really big on genealogies. Why? Because they want to get baptized for people that died and didn't know Jesus. It's fake. That's also a plan of Satan. Okay. So no, we don't do proxy baptism where someone died and you could get baptized for them. And no, we don't baptize babies. So the point is, you and I have to remember that our authority is the Bible. Amen? Not history. So as you're talking with someone, I many times, because I have a Bible, I know at least a little bit, I talk with my friends and I'm wanting to argue stuff. It's like, hey, I don't care about church history. Here's the Bible. Here's what God's word says. This is my final and only authority. I don't answer to a person like I would with God. God says it in the Bible. That's what we got to do. Amen? So your authority is Scripture, not history. Your answer is not, well, we baptize because that's how everybody does it. You go and you might want to evangelize and minister to people around this neighborhood. I have when I lived here in Middle Village. You'll meet a lot of people that are Catholic. And I come across a lot of people, I'm Italian. I'm Catholic. My grandma went to the church, Our Lady of Hope. I'm going to die a Catholic. Italians and Catholics, we're together. You can't separate them. Anybody know those old school Europeans that are like that? Well, pray for them. Okay, and your answer, like their answer, might be, oh, it's man-made religion or it's history. Okay, God could break through it in history. Amen. He could reach the hearts. He could reach the people. Okay, so don't take that as your final answer. Still love them. Still pray for people that they can get saved, no matter what their background is. And I know who I'm talking to. A lot of us have those kind of backgrounds. All right, so helpful hints for next steps. Maybe someone here needs to get baptized. Pray for us because we're going to put together a baptism. I already talked to some folks here. We got a lot of new folks coming in with the Spanish church as well as now with the English church. Maybe someone here needs to get baptized. But There's some people that might be watching the video or listening later on that they're maybe not here. That's okay. Talk with your church pastor, wherever you are around the world, about getting baptized. Surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit. You're a new creation now. Get baptized, but get discipled and start discipling others. And ask God to use your life and keep moving forward in your path to grow with God. Can we all stand, please? We're going to close with a word of prayer. And again, I want to encourage you guys to come out 6 o'clock in Zoom on our same Zoom channel that we use for our Foundations class. Let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for today. Oh, Lord, we ask that you please help us to keep surrendering to the work and the ways of your Spirit. Lord, some of this stuff, it might be tough stuff for someone here, or maybe someone listening later online or watching the YouTube video. Lord, we ask that your Spirit would help give understanding to your holy word, that someone can repent even from tradition or man-made doctrines, or this whole thought of baptizing babies is completely unbiblical. Help that person. Help us, Lord, that we throw away all the junk, all the stuff that we've learned and picked up from the world, or even worldly churches, that we would simply believe you. We would trust you with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. In all of our ways, we'd acknowledge you, and you'll direct our path. Help us, God. Pour out your Spirit. Give us more faith in you. And help us, Lord, as we leave here, we leave as a missionary, knowing that your mission, your great commission, is that we would make disciples. Help us to get discipled and to make disciples for your glory. We ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Amen.